The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Jeremy Skillington, Chief Exec of Poolbeck Pharma, and David Ormond, CBO at the company. How are you doing, guys?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Excellent. So, Jeremy, before Christmas, you said it was going to be a busy start to the new year, and so it's proving. Big developments at the company today. Let's talk about the new data, the new in vivo data, and what these positive results mean for the company.
Yeah, it's true. Very fast start to the year, but yeah, great to get these results out. Very positive, demonstrating POV001's efficacy in reducing cancer immunity-induced cytokine release syndrome in an in vivo animal model. So again, this kind of adds to our confidence, let's say, we're heading in the right direction. So importantly, the reductions in the cytokine release syndrome was seen in all serum-related pro-inflammatory cytokines tested. So again, very positive data to come from that. And again, I think this was very cost-effective trial to generate such robust data sets. And I think adding this to the human LPS challenge study, the data from that we did last year, really gives us a nice data set to move forward and, as I say, greater confidence. So again, importantly as well, from an industry standpoint, it strengthens and facilitates the extension of our patent applications for POV001 in this kind of cancer immunity-induced CRS. So again, we're heading in the right direction. So very excited about these data.
Mm. And specifically within this statement, you talk about POV001's potential as both an oral preventative and as well as a treatment. Can you explain the significance of that?
Yeah, it's a really important point to make here, because currently when cytokine release syndromes develop following these immunotherapies, there's approved therapies, but it's kind of a reactionary treatment. So it's the symptoms develop and then you have a therapy. There's nothing approved to allow this kind of preventative or prophylactic, cutting the CRS off at the pass, as it were, So standard of care, there's a limited number of standard of cares. They're given in a in-hospital setting. So again, it's kind of a very kind of restrictive, let's say, for the patients. But, develop the CRS, they become critically ill. It can also weaken the immune system and increasing the risk of infection. So there's multiple things going on here that, if we can prevent it in the outset, we think there's a much better therapy on the offering here. So I think that, from a POV001, we see the potential for preventing CRS from occurring in the first place. And of course, with that, there was kind of be significant benefits to, to patients, to healthcare, et cetera. And I think we're very excited about the potential to prevent, but also treat. So we're kind of, great potential in both approaches. But the preventive or prophylactic is certainly something that's of interest to ourselves, to the industry, to the docs, and to the patients.
Yeah, very, very encouraging indeed. Dave, so I understand that you've pulled together an independent advisory board to review and discuss POV001. Why have you done this, and what are the outputs of that process?
Yeah, so with any molecule in development, it's important to have internal assumptions, but you have to check your assumptions with the outside world. So we, I pulled together with some support. We pulled together US, French, UK, Canadian experts, both key opinion leaders in a clinical sense, payers, and clinical trial experts. And we took a view on what is the unmet medical need here? Are we seeing this correctly? What if we had a target profile for this product, would that be attractive to the experts in the future if we were successful? And we had a resounding positive reaction. The unmet need was clear. These patients are typically penned into major cancer centers, sometimes for days, weeks, while they go through their dose escalation of their bispecific therapy, or if they're having a CAR T therapy. And if CRS develops, it extends that stay and a heavy resource utilization. So when presented with a target profile of an oral potential treatment or preventative treatment for CRS in cancer immunotherapy, the expert says if you could achieve that, this would be highly attractive in general terms to have an approved product to do that, but also could offer the potential for the outpatient delivery of bispecifics in the future. And if that were true, then of course that would open the door to a wider population who need those treatments. And currently it's, you know, it's a very limited flow through a few key centres.
You've actually put a figure on the size of the opportunity in the cancer immunotherapy space. I think you talk about $1 billion in the release, and that's just the beginning. You just sort of talk us through the market opportunity as you see it.
Yeah, so it depends what you read when you look at the growth of bispecific antibodies in the treatment of cancer. And you look at the growth of CAR T therapies in the future in cancer. They are the future of cancer care. We saw the monoclonals went exponential in the past. They're going to do the same. We see predictions of over 100 billion by 2032 as an estimate. You can read different figures. It's a huge growth area. And therefore, conservatively, actually, that if we were successful hitting the target profile for POLB001 as a preventative therapy, it would do two things. One, it would potentially be routinely applied in enabling the delivery of the therapies as they stand, but it could also open up a broader population by getting patients out of hospital earlier and opening up the treatment setting, perhaps in an outpatient setting, if we were to hit the target profile. And that figure that we've estimated today is only really estimated on three key hematological tumours where there are already approved immunotherapies in cancer. And you would know well that you know, the experimentation and development of assets for immunotherapy in cancer goes way beyond those three tumours. It goes into solid tumours, it goes into broader immune inflammatory diseases. So we would say that's conservative in estimate, but a very, very substantive opportunity.
And it's really, really fantastic news from Paul Begg to start the year. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.